This is Radio Superior 1957. Production of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, Tim Michaels here, rocking your world. It's Thursday, October 10th, 1957, and the Braves win. Denny Anderson is a special late edition, 8 o'clock news. The Braves win. Aunt Jemima coming to town. The Braves win. And Machine Gun Kelly is out and about at a Sputnik spotting party. Let me try that again. A Sputnik spotting party. How's it going there, Daddy-O?
Braves win, man. It's getting dark out here.
Braves win. You're afraid of the dark?
Braves win. I've been burned too many times by the boogeyman, but it's clear sky, so when that baby moon beeps on by, we'll eyeball it with our telescope. Braves win. We got a prop from Superior State here who's earthbound about outer space. The Braves win. Cats and kittens here are cold but cranked, King Timothy.
Braves win. Give me a buzz if you spotted gun. That would be the end. Gambles is footing the bill for Denny's Tales. That's Tales. Not wagon kind. Braves win. They've got a deluxe ringer washer on sale for just $128.88. That's 50 clams off the regular price. Always better buys at Gamble's, 1109 Tower Avenue. And Denny, the Braves win!
I gathered that, so I brought a special surprise.
Don't leave me hanging, man.
Accordions.
Don't mean to rain in your parade, but accordions are kind of square, man.
They've got a Shibaleski behind one and a Harrington behind him. That's as cool as they come.
Braves win! You got it.
The Braves dethrone the Yankees, and Lodge says the United States is ready for the World Space Peace Talks. We begin our report from New York.
This is Aaron Brown at the United Nations. The United States declared today it is ready to begin multi-nation talks immediately on steps to harness space missiles for peace. So says Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge as the UN's 82-nation committee plunged into the disarmament debate. Lodge asserted the United States is willing to separate the discussion of space missiles from the disarmament debate and proceed with it independently. Lodge reminded the committee that 10 years ago, the U.S. proposed international control of atomic energy. If this had been accepted, he said, widespread international anxiety could have been avoided. Meanwhile, Sputnik stayed right on schedule today, completely oblivious to dire predictions by Earth-bound experts of changing orbits, weakening signals, and possibly a sudden fiery death. Scientists at the Naval Research Laboratory say the Russian satellite is holding its original orbit and speed, which carries it around the world every 96 minutes. That time period includes Sputnik's diagonal crossing of the United States over northern Wisconsin, across Iowa, and out of the U.S. north of Charleston, South Carolina. Stations in the Western Hemisphere and Europe report signals from the speeding sphere were coming in strong. Canada's Dominion Observatory in Ottawa said last night the Russian Moonlit, launched last Friday, was photographed over Alberta and over Auckland, New Zealand. At the United Nations, this is Aaron Brown.
This is AP Science reporter Alton Blakesley in New York. The voice from space of Russia's baby moon told the world loud and clear, Russian science whipped American science in taking the first step into the space age. Millions of shocked Americans and friends are asking why. It particularly shocked Americans who believe their country naturally and inevitably supreme in science. Where does the United States stand? Can she make up lost ground, trump the Russians' Sputnik ace? Is it possible Russia won out by no more than 60 days or so? For the U.S. could have a test moon, albeit a tiny one, in the sky by December. U.S. and Russian scientists disclaim any idea of a race, but popularly it is so considered, so Russia is having a propaganda field day. Here, Sputnik brought quick calls for congressional investigations, even a special session of Congress, into why the United States lagged. One suggestion is to set up a supreme agency concentrating all talent and funds for missile and Earth satellite development, as was done originally with the A-bomb. Why the furor? Much of it involves the Cold War and fears of military supremacy through science. Theoretically, nations able to go into space could set up space platforms. There, they could spy on Earthlings with telescope eyes, launch missiles, and control the world under threat of annihilation. The Soviet newspaper Pravda boasts it all shows the superiority of the communist system over democracy. Russia's satellite wins wavering nations to her side. In Soviet education, children in the fourth grade take mathematics and sciences nearly one-third of their time. In secondary schools, these subjects take up half the day. More youngsters are encouraged to take higher science courses, and courses are stiff. Higher education schools now graduate nearly 200,000 men and women a year in science, about one-third in engineering. For years, American scientists have been saying that Russia was outstripping this country in science-trained youths. Scientists are respected in the USSR, while surveys here show many students regard scientists or science students as eggheads, if not downright peculiar. In New York, this is Alton Blakesley, Associated Press.
This is Bill Cortez in Little Rock, Arkansas. 9 Negro students were escorted without incident today into Central High School for another day of integrated classes. 6 federalized National Guardsmen crossed the campus with the Negroes, scores of white students looking on. Aside from the troops and the knotty issue that keeps them here, conditions at Central High School are edging back to normal. School authorities say 46 out of 74 students who've been under suspension have been reinstated. Most of the suspensions were for 3 days, others were for indefinite terms. Many of those barred from classes had taken part in a walkout or in other disturbances. 2 weeks ago, federal troops arrived after riots by adult whites outside the school. President Eisenhower said the troops were to carry out court-ordered integration. In Pine Bluff, Arkansas, unions at the big Cotton Belt Railroad shops are boycotting the community chess drive. At the Segregationalist Citizens Council last night, a man in the audience said the unions are boycotting, quote, because some of the money is going to a nigger boys club, unquote. The Pine Bluff Negro Boys Club is one of the organizations benefiting from the community chess campaign. Pine Bluff is scheduled to start school integration next year. In Little Rock, this is Bill Cortez, the Associated Press.
U.S. Secretary of Welfare Marion Folsom today reported a dramatic 80% reduction in polio over the past 2 years. Folsom says the success of the Salk polio vaccine provides the means for a knockout blow to the disease next year if the millions of Americans under 40 who still have not done so will get the full 3 recommended doses. He reports that the number of polio cases this year so far is only 1,500, compared with nearly 8,000 2 years ago before widespread use of the Salk vaccine. The finance minister of the Negro Republic of Ghana had breakfast with President Eisenhower today. He received a personal apology from the chief executive for a Delaware restaurant's refusal to serve him because of his color. Minister K.E. Gebetema says it makes up for what has happened. Talking with reporters at the White House, he says the president was worried over the snub in Dover last Monday. He quoted Eisenhower as saying, "There are little things like that all over the place, and you don't know where they're going to blow up or when." Orson Welles and the Russian satellite proved too much for some radio listeners last night. A radio station in British Columbia devoted a brief newscast to Russia's Sputnik. Then, without an introduction or warning, the station put on a recording of Welles' famous War of the Worlds broadcast from 1938. 60 phone calls came in within a few minutes from anxious folks who thought Sputnik had landed hostile Russians in North America. KUWS Radio News Time is 8:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Gamble's department store.
I am going to give you 24 reasons why you should shop Gamble's this weekend. Well, maybe not all 24, but boy, they have got some tremendous buys for you at Gamble's department store. For instance, you get living room suites at only $159.95. How about this Rocker Riot sale? Blonde or dark wood finish with plastic and nylon cover, $39.95. Here's a special, a dinette set. Black and brass 5-piece sets, regularly $99.95, $88.88. And here's a Gamble exclusive upholstered black tube chair. Colors are charcoal, white turquoise, regularly $14.99, now only $9.88. Those are just some of the buys. They have got bargains galore at Gamble's at big sale prices this week. And always better buys at Gamble's. And remember, anytime you pay over $20 or more, you may put this on a time payment plan. Only at Gamble's, 1109 Tower Avenue, Superior. Denny?
A trial examiner for the National Labor Relations Board held today that the Kohler Company prolonged the 3.5-year strike at its Kohler, Wisconsin plant by a series of unfair labor practices. Examiner George Downing recommended that nearly all rank-and-file strikers whose jobs had not been filled by June 1, 1954, should be reinstated. At the same time, however, Downing found that the company lawfully discharged the 13 members of the Union Strike Committee for their direction of picketing at the plant. Included were all officers of the union. Two permits to build homes in Superior were issued this afternoon by Chief Building Inspector Thomas Thompson. Reuben Johnson and Sons will build a two-family, $13,500 dwelling at 5507 Tower Avenue. A one-family, $10,000 home will be built at 41 Norwood Avenue by Willard G. Nystrom.
10 G's for a house? Man, that is haywire.
Before you know it, it'll cost 20 grand for a new home.
Looks like I'm stuck in my pad above Burns Tavern.
That means you have a nice downstairs rec room.
Pool table, peanuts, you know.
I've just been told that a report is ready now from Milwaukee by Chuck Quirmbach. Stand by, please.
The Braves brought the World Championship of Baseball home earlier this evening. I thought that you had to die in battle to get this kind of welcome, said one hero, who faced 750,000 roaring fans this evening at the home of the Braves. But Valhalla was never like this. This is what happened. Milwaukee, which holds within its metropolitan area about 1 million souls, turned out most of them tonight. They'll keep them out late. The downtown area, scheduled to see a parade of the world champions after their arrival, began to clog with humanity in mid-afternoon. By the time the Braves' airplane touched down, there were 250,000 people in an area 2 blocks wide and 2 miles long along Wisconsin Avenue. Meanwhile, at the airport, 10,000 jammed the terminal piers, deck, and roof. Another 10,000 swarmed out over the field. When the door of the chartered airliner opened and manager Fred Haney appeared, what little in the way of formal ceremonies planned were swamped. Unfurled were the first of the banners, which repeated the same message for miles. Welcome back to Bushville. This term by a Yankee spokesman when the big shots from the Bronx brushed off a polite civic reception of their ill-started visit to Milwaukee last week has been taken to the bosom of the burghers here and is flaunted on every sign. The parade itself was an 11-hour ordeal for the Braves, but they were game. Faced with 30 convertibles and 47-degree temperatures spiced by a wind off Lake Michigan, the Braves looked at the massed thousands stretched out for miles along the route. Leave the top down, they said. These people have waited 5 years for this. Not a square foot of curbstone was unmanned along the scheduled parade route. As the caravan reached deeper into the city, intersections swelled shut with the crowd. As the safari approached the downtown area, there was barely a clear lane for the heroes. There had been some who thought that the athletes, once here, would be able to get into their cars and drive anonymously away. They will, but it will be some hours from now, and only after scores of officers with beef and motorcycles open up a lane. Tonight, everyone is a Milwaukee Brave from Bushville. In Milwaukee, this is Chuck Quirmbach.
Final score today's 7th and deciding game, Braves 5, Bronx Bombers 0, a shutout for Lou Burdett. That's the 8 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind. And we've got polka music coming up.
It'll tarnish my image, Daddy-o. Let's check the Weather Bureau's crystal ball for this Thursday, October 10th, 1957. Chilly and clear and perfect for Sputnik peaking tonight, with the mercury diving to 28 freezing degrees. But sunshine tomorrow and a high of 54. Alrighty, cats and kittens, here is one of the hottest 78s of 1957. From the cream of the crop and the top of the fossil and the stack at the back of the wax, here come the Hollywood Flames. And buzz, buzz, buzz on Kickin' KUWS.
Oh, 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 oh. Well, buzz, buzz, buzz goes the bumblebee. Tweedledee-dee-dee goes the bird. But the sound of your little voice, darling, is the sweetest sound I've ever heard. I've seen the beauty of the red, red rose, seen the beauty when the sky is blue, seen the beauty of the evening sunset, but the beauty of you, sweet is the honey from the honeycomb, sweet are the grapes from the vine, but there's nothing as sweet as you, darling, and I hope someday you'll be mine. We'll be right back.
A hot hit, the Hollywood Flames, and buzz, buzz, buzz on Kickin' KUWS.
Is he here? I ran all the way from the transmitter, all out of breath.
Station engineer Joe Gardonio, who apparently came all the way from the basement.
Sad, man, sad.
Good. I didn't miss him. He's one of my heroes.
I'm here, Skinny. You never got so excited to see me before. And McMichaels is right. You're in sad shape.
Not you. Not you. Sheesh. Florian Shimoleski. That guy can do it all on the old squeeze box.
Yeah, and you can join in as his wheeze box.
Colonel Joseph Raffaele with Douglas County Civil Defense, Siren Alert District 5. Look, Colonel, my gig is full. Lots of cats are making the scene here. You dig?
I need a shovel.
To interpret. Tim's show is booked. He doesn't have time for your announcements.
No time for the colonel and civil defense news?
Don't sweat it, Daddy-O. I'll work you in, but Aunt Jemima first.
Another hero of mine.
Oh, me too. Buckwheat pancakes, lots of syrup, bacon, eggs fried and bacon grease, toast, butter. Well, it's the colonel's way for a healthy start to the day with a good breakfast.
Aunt Jemima dropped the cats and kittens of Superior a message. All yours, Denny.
She says, I'm so glad that the Superior Lions Club has asked me to take part in its Aunt Jemima Pancake Festival. It'll take place next Wednesday, October 16th, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Hall.
Which means they'll be serving patriotic pancakes.
Yeah, the boys at the VFW, they whip up some great grub.
Don't interrupt Aunt Jemima. She says she's looking forward to visiting our town and meeting us personally.
I'll bring my memories book and have her sign it.
Continuing, she says she hopes you will come out for this big event. It's for such a worthy cause. All proceeds go toward community chest activities. So look for me, won't you? I'll be there. Affectionately, Aunt Jemima.
All right, people, this is it. This is the moment. Make room. Hats off. Stop slouching, Tim.
I'm not slouching.
You're always a slouch. You're just a sloucher.
Quiet. Do not interrupt. The Braves win, and in Wisconsin, you know what that means.
Hell froze over?
Welcome, Florian Shimoleski and Helmy Harrington.
Two accordions and my show. This will get me pounded for sure.
Helmy Harrington and Florian Shimoleski? Oh, this is history, people, history. And live on our radio. And I'm witnessing it. I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, we get that a lot.
We've been making the rounds tonight. We've been on WEBC and KDAL and WDSM.
Why are we last? My feelings are hurt.
Oh, we knew you'd be the hippest show, so we waited until after 8 o'clock, and here we are.
So, who's your favorite Brave?
Red Shandius, a great shortstop, and he knows his polka, and he also plays polka on his fiddle.
And he can dance. He can make a polka into a romantic waltz. Not many can do that.
And play shortstop.
No coincidence there, my friend. Think of the dexterity, the grace, the athleticism of polka dancing.
It's kooky and dangerous. It's worse than square dancing.
Colonel Joseph P. Buster Raffaele at your service. No offense, but I thought polka bands were a man's territory there, Miss Territon.
Harrington.
Sorry.
He's terrible with names.
At least he didn't have to say Shandienst.
So, would you like my autograph?
He means he'd like your autograph. Yours too, Mr. Shimoleski. And then I'd like to give you mine.
You mean mine?
yours. Forgive me. I'm just a little nervous in the presence of such greatness.
All right. Just right. Dear Colonel, keep up the great work fighting commies and pinkos. Your very close personal friend, Adrian Kukuluska.
Why, you ain't a kidding about this guy and then names.
He always gets his own name right, though.
We've got to get, Florian, another engagement, another celebration.
No rest for polka players, especially when the Braves beat the Yanks in the World Series. Let's breeze helmy!
I absolutely love that song. I've never heard it done to a polka tempo before. But...
You know, you're just plain embarrassing sometimes.
Me?
Yes, you. These internationally famous talented stars are in our midst, and you can't even get their names right.
That was smooth, Colonel, and why are you here?
Oh, big news. Big news. My boss, Douglas County Civil Defense Coordinator Bill Williams, showed the movie... The Atomic Attack, at the meeting of the Lake Superior Chapter of the Wisconsin Society of Professional Engineers at the Elks Club today. Well, it was about New York getting bombed and a family living 50 miles away doing just the right things to survive. It's a fact that the bomb is out there, and as the narrator Edward R. Murrow said, could be dropped on us someday.
It was a spooky movie, but there are common sense things that you could do. One, learn where the public shelters are. Find the safest place in your home. Where's two?
A warm
I'll
sense
back
of
up.
Humor.
Okay,
we're trying
I'll
to
get
save lives, and you're skipping steps.
Three, set aside a supply of canned goods and water. Have a good flashlight on hand. Keep a first aid kit. And six, have a radio with extra batteries.
And remember... First, you'll hear a 3-minute warbling siren alert. Act fast. Pull down the shades and the drapes to stop the flying glass. Turn off your gas or oil burner. It was a great movie, I'm telling you. It made me cry.
And after we watched Atomic Attack, Entertainment Committee Chairman J.P. Chelman played Atomic Blonde. Fearing nuclear war, an insurance man played by Sonny Tufts moves to a cave with his wife, played by Barbara Payton, and family, also played by a bunch of unknowns.
You know, you cats are real gun. I mean, like crazy, man. Let's do something sane. I've got Machine Gun Kelly on the horn. He's outside the Superior State College Observatory. Hey, what's buzzing, cousin?
The word from the bird is, I'm freezing. The telescope is frozen. I think my eyeball would freeze to it if I put my paper to it.
Don't give up, man. Don't give up.
Get bent. I'm cold. Timmy's sitting here in a warm studio, and I'm freezing my tail off.
That's wazoo, man, wazoo.
What's with that gumball Kelly guy? I've never heard so much whining since McKenna was here.
I can't feel my toes. My fingers are going numb. My forehead hurts. My nose is running. My eyes are running. How can I adjust this telescope under Arctic conditions like this?
I stand corrected. Gardonioni wins the whining award.
Joe is out there trying to help with the Sputnik spotting party.
I am told by my ham radio buddies who have set up what we engineers like to call a mini-track antenna system that faint beeps are being picked up. Sputnik will be over us soon. So everyone, listen up. With my two-way radio equipment and ham operator network, we'll be able to hear and see Sputnik momentarily. Conditions are perfect.
I hear some oddball waves coming, King Timothy. Like something from outer space, except it's coming from old Maine.
It's Florian and Helmy.
We're being crashed, baby. People with accordion-like things are crashing the Sputnik party.
And the Braves won.
They're great. But hey, guys, Sputnik is about to come over. We're trying to get a bead on it. We could see the first man-made moon over our very heads. So we need quiet, please.
This is so cool, Kenny. I could die.
Unreal. I could flip.
Polka and Sputnik all in one scene. My mind is boggled. I'm getting overloaded.
It's like paradise, isn't it?
I can see it in the telescope. I've got it. Sputnik! Sputnik!
Sputnik!
Let me see. I'm next.
Then Helmy gets to go next, and I get dibs after that.
You're such a gentleman.
Hey, what does it look like?
I don't know, man. Joe's hogging the telescope.
I'm not hogging. My forehead's frozen to the telescope. I can't move. Oh, this is awful, and it hurts like pain.
I've helped many people get their tongues off coal pipes over the years. It's a necessary skill where I come from.
Florian Chmielewski is spitting on his forehead.
This is all really stupid and smart at the same time. I mean, we've got these world-famous stars, Kalasinski and Burlington, and I've got a telescope that's spotted to a commie moon. Skinny gets his forehead stuck to the telescope, and Chmielewski spits on Skinny to get his skin unstuck.
You said Chmielewski.
Sorry, I forgot we were in polite company.
This is disjointed and rocking at the same time.
But we get to see Sputnik.
I'm Lost Gun, but it's time to cut out Cats and Kittens. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and our skin isn't welded to cold metal while looking at Sputnik. For Denny Anderson, Engineer Joe, Colonel Raffaele, and my new best friends, Helmy Harrington and Florian Chmielewski, this is Tim Michaels, rocking your world.
Listening to Radio Superior 1957, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Don Hansen as Engineer Joe. Colonel Raffaele is Tom Martinson. Pat Kelly plays Machine Gun Kelly. Our random teens at the Sputnik spotting party were Jordan DeWans Titus and Karina Coy. Our Facebook photographer is Jennifer Simonson. Thanks to Florian Chmielewski and Helmy Harrington with the Harrington Performing Arts Center in Superior. I bet you didn't know she has more than 1,300 accordions at her museum. All events reported on Radio Superior 1957 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow. And the Braves win.
Hey, the Braves win. And in Wisconsin, you know what that means.
Hell froze over?